It's time for JT the Brick.
See, the key to good sports radio, not great, but good sports radio, is you don't have to force it. I don't want to come in here and force Raider content on days where there's no Raider content. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports, all different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. I mean, I'm dealing with insanity here. This guy's legit, but wow, calm down. We're going to start talking sports. Did you hear what I said? I'm good.
JT the Brick.
We're providing content here every day with opinions. And I'm pretty strong with my opinions. I think you'd agree, and I stand by them. Mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. This has been the longest running show in the history of the Raiders. Nothing's close. You better be vocal today, everybody. I'm demanding greatness on the phones. Get your ass in gear today. I got my A game. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
Fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, JT, back at Grimaldi's. We appreciate it. Come on down. We're here for another hour or so. We are live from Grimaldi's Boca Park. Vice Raider is here. We just gave him a retweet. A matter of fact, Vice Raider, come up here. I'm going to give you a $50 Grimaldi gift card because you showed up here. Grimaldi's the best pizza I ever had, so this is for you. Use it today or any other time. Thank you, sir, for supporting the show. See, that's how it goes, man. You get my ass out here to a patio. People show up. You know, you got to reward them with something. We get the best pizza in town. Come on out and see us. We appreciate that. We love Grimaldi's. We love the support they give us. Grimaldi's the best pizza I ever had. I get the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge is the pizza I get. It's fantastic. So thanks to Grimaldi's. Final hour of the show. Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 will join us here momentarily as it's a ghost town for the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm pissed off. I'm angry. I'm not going to let it show. You can hear it. I'm upset. I got a fistful of 50s. I can't get a Golden Knight fan. I can't find one. I feel like I'm in some outpost in Siberia here. I'm trying to wake up these hockey fans, trying to do my job and try to give you something with hockey. And I just feel like I'm on a podcast with two people. I mean, hockey fans, this is our city. We're the Stanley Cup champs. Final call for a hockey fan this hour. If not, I'll carry this team on my bleeping back to back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. This is an elimination game tonight at the Fortress. Get down there. Also, where are my Mexican boxing fans? Canelo, Saul, Canelo Alvarez. I think I've never missed one of his fights in Vegas. I believe so. I think I've been to every fight he's had in Vegas. I don't think I've seen him fight out of the state, but when he fights in Vegas, I'm there. So he's fighting Mungia. He's a Tijuana fighter. Don't know a lot about him other than his track record. We talked to Jim Lampley about it. We had Al Bernstein on yesterday. And, ma'am, I will take a Modelo. Thank you. It's my final hour of the week. They have Modelo on tap. I reward myself with a bucket of Modelo. No bucket today. I'm driving. But I'll have myself an ice-cold Modelo as we wrap up the final hour of the show. Pretty cool column at the Sporting News. Raider undrafted free agents with the best chance to make the 53-man roster by Daria Sharma, and I'm not that familiar with that individual, but the Las Vegas Raiders has signed 17 undrafted free agents to contracts. Now, remember, only 53 make the roster, but there is a practice squad. Offensive tackle Andrew Coker. Coker played mostly right tackle for TCU 4 years in college, but also can play left tackle. So that's a name to keep an eye on. A cornerback, Jaquan Shepherd, 6'1", 200 pounds. Has the chance to make the roster. A lengthy corner, 23 years old, had an 80.5 coverage rate. Maybe he fits into Patrick Graham's side. Griffin, a wide receiver. Lydrick Griffin is a gifted athlete. He ran a 4.43 40 yard dash at the combine. 23 years old in 2023 for Mississippi State. I really like this content here. And Aiden O'Connell changed his number to number 12. Ooh. Whoa, oh, number 12, Rich Gannon and the Snake. What does that mean? What's behind that conspiracy wizardry? What is that? Who made that decision? Aiden O'Connell, number 12. Wow, that's very interesting to me. I love Aiden O'Connell. I believe he is the front runner. I've said that on the show. I don't know who's going to be the starter. I have no idea who's going to be the starter. But Aiden O'Connell worked for Antonio Pierce last year. Gardner Minshew did not. Thank you for that, Modelo. Very much appreciated. And I think that's going to be a really good topic in the offseason. Who's going to start at quarterback? I will feed into that topic. I will feed into that topic at training camp once I see both Aiden O'Connell and obviously Gardner Minshew compete. And then they're going to compete in the preseason. And it looks like I'll be back as the preseason radio host, play-by-play. Jason Horowitz does TV. And then he jumps back into radio. And I like, you know, we're going to find out what's happening with the schedule coming up here, hopefully in a little bit. So I'm excited about that as we get going. Sean in Vegas. Sean, thanks for kicking off hour number two. Start us off. What's happening?
T, thanks for taking my call. We're here. Knights fans are around. I'm just at work. So
yeah, I appreciate it.
Our back's against the wall, but they got it. They got this. They can come back.
Well, I mean, how do you expect them to come back? I just can't do a show on they got this. They've been getting outplayed. They look older. They look tired. They don't look like they have any pop in their legs. How are they going to win back-to-back games? I think they can get the game tonight because it's on home ice, but they got to go back to Dallas and close it out.
Yeah, it's going to be very tough. But they just got to find a way to generate a little bit of offense. He's so good between the pipes, though, their goalkeeper, that it's going to be tough, but I think they can do it. And I gave up the Kings to be a Knights fan, so we got to win this, man. I can't do this for nothing.
Yeah, I gave up the Islanders, the team of my youth, with four cups when I was in high school, and I gave them up. I mean, I like the Islanders. I want them to win, but not when they're playing the Golden Knights. It was easy for me and probably for you to give up and become a Knights fan because they were an expansion team, correct?
It was pretty easy. I mean, I love the Kings. I still got my Gretzky jersey hanging up in the closet, but, you know, and I'm a diehard Raiders fan, and we'll be all right. I think they can do it. It's going to be a little tough, but the Knights have been, they've had their back against the wall before.
Yeah, they have. Appreciate the call, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight, and I really hope they come through and win this game tonight for entertainment purposes. For all the jobs that are on the line, there's jobs on the line. There are people who pour beer. There are people that rip tickets. There are people that are there, security. I mean, we're talking about jobs, jobs, jobs. I want to see another month of hockey going on here. I want to see people coming to Grimaldi's watching the games. I want to see people involved in this. So that's something I want to get into. 702-365-9200. Thank God. We did hear from a hockey fan, and now I hear from a hockey expert. He's embedded with the team. He gets to travel with the team back from Dallas. Vince Sapienza joins us from Fox 5. And, Vince, as we begin, I saw some video of you predicting Brock Bowers as the 13th pick overall. Are you the only one on God's green earth who made that prediction?
That's right, JT. You know, I wish I could say it was for the exact reasons why I picked it, but hey, the pick held true, and that's what matters at the end of the day. That's what they look at.
Let me tell you, that's a big, let me tell you something. That is a big deal. Eric Allen and I did a 3-hour lead up to the draft. We didn't mention his name, and we're paid professionals. You go on the set there, and you ended up doing this. Did you sense that maybe the quarterbacks would all be gone and maybe he'd fall to the Raiders? That's more than a good guess, my friend. You're being humble here.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest reasons, I just didn't feel the Raiders were going to pay or had enough to pay to move up to get the guy they wanted. I mean, Daniels just moved up so quickly, and we all know that that was kind of the target for the Raiders. So obviously we knew the Raiders weren't going to settle with their second or third option. They wanted the guy that they wanted. I didn't think he was going to be there. And when you look at all the other guys that needed quarterbacks, it just felt like he was a guy that was going to fall. And at the end of the day, if you're Telesco in your first draft, you're taking best player available if you're not getting your franchise guy. So that was kind of the method to the madness, at least for that one.
Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 kind enough to join us. All right, let's get into the Golden Knights. The losses have been tight games. So it's not like they're getting blown out 6-1 and they just look like they're toast. These have been unbelievable games. There was a goalie change, as you first reported it, at the pre-skate. So what happened in Dallas to you when you take a look at this team, as well as you know, changing up the lines, a goaltender change, and how close they were to winning that game?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, you can't have a Golden Knights playoff run without a little goalie controversy, JT. And once again, it feels like that conversation is brought up again. Game 3, there's no argument, was the Golden Knights' worst game of this series. And you can make the argument, as would I, that it was probably Logan Thompson's best performance of his entire career. And it was the best goaltender performance in Golden Knights franchise history, yet they still come out on the wrong end. Game four, Logan was really good. Yet again, the Golden Knights just needed a spark. And, you know, when you're up 2-0 in the series and all of a sudden that lead goes and evaporates quickly as it did, especially on home ice, you need a spark. Bruce Cassidy said he felt like they were going to use both goalies at the end of the day regardless. You never know when it's going to happen, but he just felt that that was the time to make the switch to give the team a spark, shake up the lines a little bit, provide a little extra, a little something extra to give the guys some juice. And it wasn't so much to get the job done. It was more so a product of the team. And, you know, we can go back and forth till we're blue in the face. Was it the right decision or not? Aiden didn't play bad in game
no.
five. You know, you give up two power play goals and a two-on-one goal, it's hard to put anything on Aiden. So, you know, the common denominator with the goaltender's losses of three straight has nothing to do with goaltending right now. It is completely defensively and their discipline. They've not been able to keep their emotions in check, just like Dallas did not keep their emotions in check in the Western Conference Final a year ago.
Vince Sapienza, Fox 5. He'll be embedded with the team, as always, covering the team tonight at T-Mobile. All right, so we know the back is up against the wall. Do you expect any big changes coming into this game today? Because I buy into home ice. You know, I flip-flop on this. I think hockey players don't care where they play. I think hockey players can win in any barn anywhere. But this place has got to provide some juice tonight. I was saying earlier, you know, people are looking for tickets, and some people are selling tickets. I'm like, this is nonsense. We're the Stanley Cup champs. This is the fortress. This place has got to be off the charts tonight. There's a lot of season ticket holders who are planning on another month of hockey. They got to be on their feet, Vince, the entire game here. This place needs to be a madhouse like we're watching around the league.
JT, we need to get you in the locker room. We need you to
give
that speech
we
and
do.
Get them fired up. Well, let me answer your first question in terms of any changes. Aiden Hill is going to get the start tonight. Again, that's not really a surprise. As I mentioned before, goal is not really an issue, but Aiden is getting the start tonight. Ivan Barbashev is moving on a line with Mark Stone and Chandler Stephenson. Bruce Cassidy has admitted that Mark Stone is still trying to find his legs. He was out of hockey for a long time, still trying to find his spot. Ivan Barbashev is an energy guy who can hopefully complement those two, create a little juice, and create some space out there for the guys, because there's not been a lot of space anywhere on the ice for just about any line. Keegan Colasar, Zach Whitecloud, both healthy scratches in game five. We'll be back in the lineup tonight at home in game six. And so to the point about home ice, look, every player will sit there and say, we have the best fans in the league, best crowd in the league, but there are a few teams that can say that and it'd be true. And the Golden Knights and T-Mobile Arena is one of those places. Dallas Stars were the best road team in the regular season. We know how good they are on the road. We saw it in games 3 and 4. That being said, Jonathan Marchessault said something to me this morning. Very interesting. You know, obviously backs against the wall, you know, win or go home, that whole spiel. But first thing he told me, and this is the type of guy you talk about at day one, he goes, you can't go into the playoffs and lose three on home ice. Win on home ice. You know, get back. He's like, we into the fans. I mean, we need to provide something special for these guys. And goes in hand with so
goes to yeah.
It's not just from the traffic in terms of the love, fans to the players. I mean, it is a two-way street. Really do care about what they provide on home ice. And when your day one original misfit is saying stuff like that, you know it's going to be more than just playing to keep their season alive another couple of weeks. They're playing for something bigger. And when you play for something bigger, JT, doesn't matter the sport, you know there's more behind you.
Yes. Thank you, my friend. Have a good coverage game tonight. I'll be watching before and after. Let's keep this thing going. Really love having you on. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate you, JT.
There he is, Vince Sapienza, Fox 5, as we get rolling here. It's a must-win game. I'm a sports talk host. I really fire up people. That's my job. I'm all over this must-win game tonight. Get your act together, Vegas, and act like a hockey town. I don't do sugar-coated radio. I don't do fluff radio. I don't do that. This is a must-win game. This town's got to feel like a must-win game tonight. I don't know. Maybe I don't feel must-win when I'm sitting at a beautiful pizza Paolo Grimaldi's. Maybe I need, you know, to be in some back brawl at some down and dirty bar, you know, off of T-Mobile. I don't know, but I got to get this town going because I just don't. I want this town to feel like Toronto, Detroit, and Boston as we get going here. Mark Jones joins us here. And the businessman, the mind, the guy behind the black hole who's kind enough to join us and comes to all of our remotes. Partner, good to see you. How are you?
Hey, you know, I'm doing great. Beautiful Friday here in Vegas. We wait all year for weather like this, so it's great to be outside and great to be here at Grimaldi's.
You are often seen at a Golden Knight game. You find your way on television. I'll be sitting home working, and I'll look up, and I'll be doing the show, and I'll see you as a season ticket holder and a fan of this team. I can tell you got some juice with this game tonight.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's been heartbreaking, you know, to watch that. And you talk about the fan base here. You know, this is like going to a town hall meeting here in town. Even though Vegas is larger than life for a lot of people, when you live here, it has a very small town feel to it. And you know, I moved here right after this team came to town, right after the awful shooting that happened.
Yep.
And to see this town came together, you couldn't help but start rooting for this team. And, you know, I grew up a Kings fan. And, wow, just going to the first game here, seeing everybody, meeting all the people I've met. It's just, it's an awesome experience, and I expect it to be sold out tonight and rocking and rolling.
It's got to be. Mark Jones of the Black Hole. So the Black Hole draft party at the Palms, great partnership at the Ghost Bar. We've done several things there. What was the vibe like overall when they drafted Brock Bowers? Because that wasn't expected. When you're a season ticket holder and running the Black Hole, you see an addition like that. What were your first thoughts?
I think like everybody, I think it was like, whoa, Brock who? You know, and for a lot of people, because everybody was kind of expecting a different player. And but I think, you know, once that moment passed, everybody got to see, hey, first of all, there was no quarterbacks available. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to reach or waste that pick on some project when we already have two guys in the clubhouse right now, you know, that are already way better. So I was happy to see some common sense for once, because I think we all have PTSD as Raider fans for the draft. I know I do. I'm nervous every draft. I get sick to my stomach just because, you know, there's so many times we really haven't gotten it right, and this time we really need to. So I like the pick. I like the player. He came to the office here,
yeah,
obviously to the headquarters, and, man, guy's like a man-child. He's that guy is –
let me interrupt you for a second, because when he came into our studio, we talked to him first. I was expecting someone bigger in regards to thickness, like – he's not as big as Michael Mayer. Michael
right.
Mayer is a fort. I mean, he's monstrous, but this guy is as big, a little bit leaner, and just he's a freak. He's
yeah,
a freak.
He really
and
is.
He came in with the Raider jacket on and the
yeah,
Raider hat.
He was ready to go.
He was ready to go, but again, as I said, we have to make sure that this two tight end set works. And it's
yeah.
got to work early here, because the black hole is going to be leaning over the end zone in the red zone, and you're going to have coming at you Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers, along with Devontae and Jacoby Myers. I like that fit.
I do, too. And, again, you know, I go back to – I was having a conversation with someone the other day about, you know, the last Super Bowl we were in. We got beat by a guy named Brad Johnson, okay?
Yep, we did.
Not necessarily a franchise quarterback, but somebody who could just run the offense, you know, and was able – had a good defense behind him. And, you know, our defense, I mean, we loved the way to see how, you know, how that all put together last year. And, obviously, improving. I love the free agent signing this year. And, you know, if we put some people around some of these guys, you know, they're going to find a way to win. We were able to do it last year with a lot less guys. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, again, I just got to put my faith in the people who are up there.
Yeah.
You know, I love AP and I love Telesco. I think these guys are making good decisions, not just today, but for the future of the franchise, and we need that.
I got the website in front of me, theblackhole.com, football's most notorious fans. As I said, now sign Raider memorabilia. You can shop there now, but I think the most important thing here, too, is membership. If you go to the upper left-hand corner and click on membership here, I think this is really important, and our partnership has grown here thanks to you on the radio. The first thing you got to do is become a member of the Black Hole. That means when you go to Tampa Bay and New Orleans this year, we're going to Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Miami. You'll hit the ground in Baltimore, in cities like this, and be able to say, I'm a member of the Black Hole. That is imperative that people understand when you get off a plane, you're the member of the Black Hole.
Yeah, I think one of the greatest things about it is just having access. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have, you know, some big numbers out there, and where we have a lot of networking going on. So really, you know, the member packages, this is something that we're going to announce to all of our members via email today. Today is the day, Cinco de Mayo every year, is when we renew memberships. And we have dues renewal. And thanks to the, you know, incredible, you know, sponsorship we have with Modelo and with, you know, our other sponsors, we're able to now make every lifetime membership, or every basically every membership of a lifetime membership. So if you bought a membership last year and the year before, there's no dues. You're done. It's a lifetime membership. Once a member, always a member. And that's the way we're going to roll from here on out. So now you still get all the same benefits, 20% off everything, you know, first in for everything. But again, you know, it's just one price now. So one price, lifetime of benefits. So we're really happy to announce that today.
Mark Jones of the Black Hole. So member benefits include 20% off everything, exclusive hotel discounts, but $59.95, you become a member of the Black Hole for life.
Yeah, for life. And again,
wow, I didn't know that. I did not know that. That's amazing.
We are just able to do it this year. Like we're literally just announcing that right now on Cinco de Mayo. So you heard it here first on the JT the Brick Show. But yeah, so everyone's going to be getting an email over the weekend. No more dues. It's just, you know, one fee, lifetime of benefits, always a member. You know, once a member, always a member. And, you know, that's how we're going to roll. And again, this is all thanks to all the members last year who joined and made it possible for to do all the things that we're doing out there. You know, when people come to town, you know, we want this to be like a Disneyland experience here for Raider fans and to be able to, you know, give access to stuff without having to pay an arm and a leg to do it. You know what I mean? So
once
that's where all those dues go.
Once a member, always
once a member, always a member, baby. Hey, listen, you know what? It works for the Raiders. It's, you know, and they're alumni, so it's going to work for the Black Hole as we go forward here.
Well, I was waiting for you to come here to make a formal announcement here because the biggest party I ever threw was in New Orleans. People still talk about it today. So I am here to announce, along with the Black Hole, the JT the Brick Party is coming back to New Orleans with the Black Hole. We today are announcing we are going to throw the largest Raiders road party in the history of the Las Vegas Raiders. So that goes back to the Oakland Raiders, the L.A. Raiders. I'm not going to predict anything until I see
New Orleans. We were able to get away with a lot more back then.
Right. But I am predicting now this will be the largest ever fan experience in the history of the Las Vegas Raiders with the Black Hole. We don't know what the date is. The schedule hasn't come out. But we're both committed today exclusively, and clip that from the show. The Black Hole JT the Brick Party is coming back to New Orleans. It's going to be off the charts.
Epic.
Where would you like that date to be? I was telling my wife the other day, because my wife heard about this trip, and she's like, I'm going on this one. I'm like, okay, would you like that to be in September, October, November, or December?
You know, I like October only because it's Gorillarilla's birthday.
Yes.
And I would love to do another Gorillarilla birthday party. We did one 2 years ago out there for him. And I got an email back from the owner of that place saying, wow, your people can really drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, we can travel.
So, yeah.
I remember at my party that I walked over at the end of the night. I gave Ken Stabler 5,000 cash. I gave Fred Biletnikoff 5,000 cash. And I said, my job is done.
That's
we had
so
the alumni
awesome.
There. We did it. But New Orleans and then all the other road trips, because I know Miami was huge.
Oh, yeah. Miami, we're doing that again this year. I mean, New Orleans, obviously, we're gonna blow that out. Miami is another big one that we're absolutely going to do. We're going to blow that out. And I think there's one more. We wanted to do three this year. And we'll see when the schedule comes out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and again, you know, we're going to be organizing this for members. You know, you're going to be getting discounts on, you know, travel stuff, hotel stuff. You know, we're going to travel, you know, as a big motley crew this year and start taking advantage of our numbers and leveraging those as we travel. And, yeah, we're super excited about it.
Yeah, would it be fair to say that a good Black Hole party would be in L.A. because the Chargers and the Rams are on the schedule?
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's just too easy. Those are Raider home games to begin with.
Our L.A. chapter will be taking care of that out there.
No doubt about it.
No problems there.
Thanks for your partnership, buddy.
Thank you, brother. We
appreciate
it. Appreciate
that. The Black Hole, Mark Jones. When we come back, my conversation with Tom Telesco. It happened earlier in the week. If you didn't catch it, you'll catch it on the other side. We're still going to be at Grimaldi's for about an hour. We asked the Raider Nation to come on down. 15% off of everything. I had my first Modelo. Modelos are going to be flowing. We got pizza. We got, the calzones. Have you tried the calzones? The meatball calzone is off the charts. Thanks to Grimaldi's. Tom Telesco coming up next. The best pizza I've ever had.
So Aiden O'Connell starts the fourth, first and 10 on the 33. Pump fakes to the left, takes the shot, deep down the left sideline. Open man at the five is Myers, catches, walks in, touchdown Raiders! The pump fake froze the defense, and Myers down the sideline. He has run one in, he has caught one, and the Raiders in full control here on the first play of the fourth quarter.
Tom Telesco, kind enough to join us, the GM of the Silver and Black. Tom, thanks for coming on. How are you and your staff rested after a grind over not only the last couple of days, the last couple of months? How are you?
Yeah, it's been a grind since January. The draft's such a long process, a lot of people involved. I'm kind of somewhat relieved and glad it's over and we're now to the next phase, because the next phase is more fun. We've been on the grass with the players the last couple of days, and for me, getting to know our guys better, just watching them practice and just being out on the football field again and putting the team together. That's, to me, that's more gratifying than going through the draft process. The draft process is just part of, you know, team building, but actually getting out there with the players, watching them practice, go through drills, getting a better feel for them. It's been fun the last couple of days.
You know, in all your years of being a GM, picking higher or picking lower than 13, and then Brock Bowers shows up there, and you talked about the dress rehearsal the day before, getting your whole team in the war room, everyone's there, and then all of a sudden, Tom, this plays out. I can't imagine what it was like. I know there was some contingency plans, but Eric Allen and I were on the pre leading right up to the draft, and we didn't even bring up Brock's name, not out of disrespect, we just didn't think he would be available. Then he starts becoming available, the Michael Penix move, and then Denver with Bo Nix, and especially the Jets passing on him. What was that like in real time as Brock Bowers came closer to you at 13?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad because we had already played it out probably a couple weeks before, just because you have to have all the scenarios covered. And there were some scenarios that, you know, he could be there with our picks. So let's talk about it, you know, 2 weeks before the draft. We're not going to talk about it while we're on the clock. So we had discussed where we were. We definitely knew that there's a good chance all these quarterbacks could go early. You know, we had seen Atlanta go out and work out. Penix brought everybody out there. So we knew they liked him. Wasn't exactly sure where. It could be first round, could be second round, but we knew. And then we knew Denver was in the quarterback market. So, so you just go through all the contingencies of what could happen. And look, in the end, just keep it real simple. Like the Raiders, we didn't score enough points last year on offense. Mm-hmm. So this is a player that can help us score. Guys that at least can make plays or playmaker plays, they come in all different positions, shapes, sizes. You know, it could be a running back, could be a tight end, could be a receiver, could be a slot, it could be whatever. And we think he can really help the offense as a piece, whether it's at the line of scrimmage as a tight end, whether it's split out as a receiver, whether it's as a big slot, could be as a wing. So there's a lot of versatility with this game, with Brock's game, and a lot of explosion in this game as far in the passing game. So in the end, it gives us an offensive playmaker early in the draft. And like you just said, we had worked through that scenario probably 2 weeks beforehand just in case that happened. So we were prepared for it.
Tom Telesco is our guest. You know, Tom, you have more access than our fans, obviously, in your scouting department with the film of Brock Bowers. I saw a lot of it, and then everybody's shooting me his YouTube video when I had him on stage there at the facility. He's got a 15-minute highlight video on YouTube and is arguably considered the greatest college tight end of all time with the two Mackeys and the two national championships. What did you see? Maybe a little nugget that all of our listeners would like to know on the flash of him, but the consistency that he brings to every game and every down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big billing right there. I mean, there's been, you know, I'll just thinking, as you're talking about the greatest tight ends of all time, I'll just thinking about some of the guys going through my head that may, you know, they may have an argument with you. But, no, his game is, there's just so many facets. You know, this is a big-time high school player, high recruit, which is why he ended up at Georgia. But he can do so many things with the ball in his hand, which usually is a tight end, especially for us, because we were looking for, you know, whether receiver, tight end, whatever, even a back. Right after catch is so important in an offense. You know, get the ball out of the quarterback's hand, get some easy throws, and let the receiver go do his work. And Brock did that at a really high level at Georgia as far as run after catch. Not only the instincts of it, but the athletic ability, the speed, and then he runs with an edge. I mean, he looks to break tackles, he looks for contact. And then the part of his game that goes a little bit overlooked for an athletic tight end is he does have some ability as a blocker because he's really tough, he's physical, he gets after it. He gives up a little bit of size to the bigger defensive ends, but he'll fight them down in, down out. And then when he gets on the perimeter at the blocker, he's looking to knock people down. And that's a part of playing tight end in this league, something he had to do at Georgia. Because if you don't do that at Georgia, you won't get on the field, you don't get the ball. Mm-hmm. And our level is the same way. You know, you don't do the dirty work, then you might not get any passes in the passing game. So he's a pretty well-rounded tight end, you know, decorated college career. Mm-hmm. And he's coming in the door here at 21 years old, you know, so he still had a lot of development to do.
Tom Telesco's our guest. Jackson Powers Johnson, oh my God. The Oregon friends of mine up there who went to school, the alumni who watched every game, are just blown away. And at that point, Paul Fisher out of Notre Dame, there was some good right tackle still on the board, and a guy who played center who can clearly play guard here. What was the key to that pick as best available and a beast and a guy who looks to compete? Obviously, you'll make the decision and coach will make the decision, but clearly a plug-and-play beast of a starter.
Well, he plays with the mentality that we're looking for, and you can see that pretty easily on the film. His tenacity, his nastiness, his physicalness, and he's just all-around effort of how he plays the game. The fact that he can, you know, probably play either guard spot and center is a big part of it for his career. You know, we're thinking guard right now. But he's going to come in and compete for mm-hmm. a job. And, again, this is a young player. He's 21 years old. Mm-hmm. His football background at Oregon is a little bit smaller, just there, you know, really, you know, two-year starter. So he still has a lot of growth in his game. But he has the things you can't teach, which is that mentality with how we want to play on both sides of the ball, but certainly on the offensive line. We think he's going to fit in really well there.
Yeah, and Tom, that's important because you said it at the press conference too, getting players that can match the intensity of your head coach in Antonio Pierce. Is this like a perfect example of that? His sideline when he was there at the spring game and he was talking and he's got the Raider hat on and the autumn wind is a pirate. It sounds like he gets it as he walks in the building, the history of the offensive line for the Silver and Black.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, it makes scouting easy when you're scouting for an identity, when you're looking for players that fit an identity and you've defined that identity, which we've defined that here. So, you know, you can throw on a tape of any player and after, you know, you start rolling through it, you start getting a feel of, hey, does this guy fit us or not? And with him, it, you know, it's pretty quick. It's probably the first quarter, the first game you're watching. You're like, he plays with the mentality we're looking for. And then after that, you're starting to look for all the other traits, the strength, the leverage, the athletic ability, football intelligence, all that. But yeah, if you can define the identity of who you want to be, that makes scouting pretty easy as far as finding guys that fit that.
All right, so you get a corner in your last pick in round 7, Devonshire, and then Richardson in the 4th round. Clearly a need. You got good corners there, but you need possibly some more competition and some depth there. Tell me about your philosophy and your department going into getting a corner early in the draft and how satisfied you are.
Well, the philosophy is always you can never have enough corners. Mm-hmm. It's a passing league, which means you got to be able to cover. And corners are hard to find. And once the season starts, if you have injuries at that position, it's a very difficult position to add in season, someone that can come in and really play at a high level for you. So you can never have enough of them. I learned that from Bill Polian early on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, both those guys will come in and add to the depth, and hopefully they'll keep growing in our system. And that's the key. And there's some opportunity there. There's some good competition at that position. And that's why, you know, we end up, you know, really going back, not back to back as far as rounds, but at least adding two guys there. Mm-hmm. And we find a couple corners after the draft. And we'll keep looking between now and training camp because we'd like to try and make that the deepest group possible so we can weather the storm, which usually comes at some point during the year. You get that talent level as high as we can get it.
I was at the Biletnikoff Hall of Fame golf tournament on Monday, and Raider legend Phil Villapiano, Super Bowl champ, comes up to me and says, JT, I love Tommy Eichenberg. Oh, my God. He starts grabbing me. And I'm like, Phil, I know, and you love Spillane, and you love anybody who plays linebacker. And he was excited because he saw a lot of his games. Tell us about Tommy and how you can fit him in, especially special teams with the depth at the linebacker position.
I was just going to say, with those two linebackers, he probably sees himself and with how they play, which, again, we're looking for the identity of how we're going to play. And Tommy Eichenberg has that. He's all ball all the time. He's focused in. He plays the game hard, plays the game the way you're supposed to play it, and he played at a high level at, you know, one of the best schools in the country. So not surprised to hear that you know, Phil sees that same, the style of how he played in some of these guys that are here, you know, the guys, you know, with Spillane being one of them. far as how he plays. So him and Tommy, and you know, we'll get those guys going. It's been fun watching Diablo run around and Luke Masterson. Luke Masterson is a really good athlete. We know Devine's a really good athlete. So just trying to upgrade the talent on that group moving forward.
Wrapping it up with Tom Telesco. So, Tom, the undrafted free agents, also something you're very strong at. So the draft ends, and all of a sudden, you're right on the phones getting rolling here. Can you take our listeners behind the scenes, what that process was like for you, the amount of players you wanted to be in contact with? I heard you say there was some good players that were taken in the seventh round. You probably would have called them in if they were available. What was that process like for you the first time with the Raiders?
Yeah, it's controlled chaos is what it is after the draft, because everybody's doing the same thing as quickly as they can. We had a pretty good process to it between the scouts, the coaches, and then actually the biggest part of it is David Kristoff here. He kind of keeps track of the money, because there's a cap on what you can give signing bonus-wise. So when you're dealing with multiple players at multiple positions in a short amount of time, you have to have somebody very dialed in, focused, and good with the numbers to make sure we don't go over the limit. So he kind of handled that. JoJo Wooden and Champ Kelly and Brandon Uren kind of directed the area scouts as far as where we're going with what players. And then the coaches kind of helped with the recruiting of those players. And you have to make some quick decisions in real time. And I think we ended up signing 16 or 17 players after the draft very quickly. But and we'll see how they work out. I'm excited about the group once they get in here. But what I liked was the process of everyone working. It's the ultimate team working together in the draft process after the draft, because you're looking at maybe, you know, 30 to 40 people working together in the same time, and we get it all done in about 30 minutes. So it was just great to see everyone work together, and we'll see how this crop looks.
Hey, Tom, finally, 12 personnel. A lot of fans are learning more about that and the style of this. I asked our research department there, we got such a great unit there at Silver and Black Productions, to go back to when Raymond Chester played with Dave Casper in 79. They both went to the Pro Bowl, two of the greatest tight ends of all time. And now we're hearing more about 12 personnel and Luke Getsy. And look, we're not here to tip what the Raider offense is going to be. It's a work in progress, but you seem really excited about the additions here and this scheme that Luke Getsy is going to have a chance to put together on the field as early as now throughout training camp in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, you're just looking for different ways to attack a defense. Obviously, Raymond Chester and Dave Casper, that's a pretty good way to do it, especially the way they played football then. The game's a little bit more wide open now, and those guys would have fit this game at this point, definitely, if they were playing now. Those guys are great receiving tight ends and excellent athletes and great hands. To have you know, potentially two, you know, we know what Michael can do, and you saw what Michael could do last year, Michael Mayer, with the matchups that he has. He's a tough cover for people, because not only is he really athletic, they can separate, but he's got a really thick, strong body, and he can play through contact, and he's got just a great feel in the passing game, like a natural feel for zone, for separating. And then we're going to get Brock in the mix, and both those guys, we can move around, because even when Michael was at Notre Dame, they would split him out as a receiver sometimes. Obviously, Brock has been split out before. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're both on the field. They both have to line up on the line of scrimmage with the five offensive linemen. We can do anything we want with them. And then obviously you got the receivers as a part of that. So it's exciting. And the more you can do to try and stress the defense, the better. So that's the part of the goal with that.
Hey, Tom, last one. When you were there the day after, you're upstairs working, the draft's going on. Brock Bowers gets introduced, and he goes through the motions, sits down with our department, and then we bring him out on the field, and there's five high schools out there, boys and girls, flag, tackle football, the whole indoor facility set up to welcome this kid to come in. That's never happened before. That's on your dime now with Coach Pierce to say, we are going to open this up. We're transparent. We want our fans and the student-athletes here in town to experience that. I thought that was a fantastic, introducing Brock Bowers and his family that way. What did that mean to you as you're new to the organization, but you're seeing the way the organization runs from within?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, because my office actually looks down on the practice field. And you know, the draft hadn't started yet, so I was in here doing some work, and I'm looking down there. And seeing everybody excited about the draft, and hey, the more we can do with high school athletes, not just football players, but all sports, the better. There's nothing better, and there's nothing better for development of high school kids than playing some sort of sport in school. So the more we can get them out here, get them excited, I know Brock walking around, he was just taking in the whole environment. And, you know, he's coming from University of Georgia, so that's pretty big level right there. But to see the excitement here, the passion, you know, that Raiders fans is unmatched. But, yeah, it was a pretty cool event. Mm. So, you know, I actually wanted to go down there, and I kind of thought twice about it, but figured I do have some work to do here. But it's just a commitment that this organization has made to Las Vegas and you know, not only the fans but the local high schools. And one of the cool things we did probably a couple weeks before the draft is we did a local day where we had players work out either from UNLV, either USC, UCLA, because they count as our local schools by NFL standards. And then we had some kids from Bishop Gorman and Centennial, some different high schools that were playing that were college juniors or seniors. We had them work out here. I thought that was a pretty neat event to have, you know, some high school kids that, you know, went out and played Division I football or even Division II football and had a chance to work out for their hometown team, the Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, typically some of those guys we signed in the past after the draft, so we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, it's just a commitment that this team has made, this organization has made to Las Vegas, which is great to see.
Thank you so much for your time, Tom. I know you've been real busy. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes. All the best.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
It's tough. I, you know, my mind's all over the place right now, so that's a great question, but maybe at some point later on I'll give you an answer. It's been a hell of a 2 years, though, I tell you that.
Well, that's a big update because Darvin Ham was just fired earlier before we came on the air as the head coach of the Lakers. Never want to see anybody ever get fired, but in radio, my business, people get fired all the time. And in sports, people do. And as I always said, I said it to one of my best friends today who lost out on a job. I've always said the nature of my book, The Handoff, when a door closes, the next door that opens is always bigger. It's always darkest before the dawn. If you're unemployed, you're waiting for the next job. It's coming. It's coming. It'll be better than where you're at now. I promise you that. Thanks to Grimaldi's. They just gave me a giant slice. First time they've ever had the giant slice here. I'm going to have that with my Modelo right after the show. Thanks to everybody who put us here today. Really thrilled that I could sit outside with a bunch of fans from the Raider Nation and host this show today. So thanks to Grimaldi's. Come on out and hang out with them whenever you get a chance. They're really good to me, and I really love this entire partnership we have with the best pizza that I ever had. Sandy in Vegas. Sandy, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Great. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing? You know, before you say a word, I'm going to give you a $50 Grimaldi gift card. How about that? You get a $50 Grimaldi gift card here. Please enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Well, I'm calling in as a huge Raider fan and a bigger, even bigger Knights fan. I couldn't agree more that we have a must-win situation that we haven't faced in a long time against the Stars. I was there last Saturday night as well. I was there Game 5 when we won the Stanley Cup. And I think the energy of the fans is the same. We just have to keep it going for tonight.
Yeah, 100%. Are you going to the game?
We might be. I think
okay.
So.
Well, enjoy watching it, Sandy, and get on hold. Bobby will give you a $50 Grimaldi gift card. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Johnny in Vegas, wrap up the show. Johnny, what's happening?
JT, how are you, buddy?
Good. Well, thank you.
So when Pietrangelo took that penalty, I think everybody said that's the game. And, you know, you talked about the financial impact to the city of, you know, what happens if we don't get out of the first round. I think, it sounds crazy, I think that the team should fine Pietrangelo and then donate that money.
Oh, stop. You're not going to fine a player for a penalty. You know, you're better than
that. Come
on.
That was so bad, though, JT.
I know it was, but he's won two Stanley Cups, one with the Blues and one here. You can't fine a guy. Yeah, Pietrangelo, we need Pietrangelo to play great tonight. We need Pietrangelo to help us get out of this hole.
I know that, but I'm just saying, you know, and I know as a professional, it wasn't even a dirty hit by whoever.
Dumb penalty.
Corner with, you know, like, I just don't understand where that came from. Just so frustrating. But, and I agree with you on the fan piece, too. Like, when you watch Winnipeg, you watch Toronto, you watch some of these other cities, man, the energy is insane. And we just got to bring that same energy out the whole game. Like you said, Nobody should sit. Nobody should sit until we win that game.
Yes, I agree with you. Thanks for the call. I got to run, my friend. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. James, thanks for engineering it. I appreciate it. Thanks to Grimaldi's, our friends here, for all the listeners, the Grimaldi's gift cards. This is my favorite place in town, this location. Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had, my long-term partner. We appreciate everybody at Grimaldi's, now home of the Giant Slice. We didn't know that. We have the Giant Slice, the Brooklyn Bridge. They got unbelievable wine here. They have unbelievable service, a great team here. We thank Grimaldi's. We'll be out here again somewhere down the road here. Hopefully the Golden Knights win tonight. Thanks to Tom Telesco, the GM of the Raiders. Thanks to Jim Lampley, the Hall of Fame broadcaster, and Vince Sapienza, all who joined us, for coming on today. Remember, Grimaldi's, come on out and make sure you come to Boca Park. The location is fantastic. I'll be here with my mom and dad next week, my parents. My dad's coming out here for his 85th birthday, and we will take him to Grimaldi's in a couple of weeks here. Thanks again to the entire team at Grimaldi's, the great staff, those who showed up today. I'll be back on Monday. Hopefully the Golden Knights are still alive, man. Hopefully they're still alive. We got a lot of Raider content, and the schedule is coming out sooner than you think. And we'll tell you all about that. Thanks to the Raider Nation. Thanks to Grimaldi's, the entire staff here. Thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate everybody. Follow us on YouTube at JT the Brick YT. Thanks to Bobby. Q's got a big show on deck. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.